We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on WMR.FM. It's the 13th of February, 2025. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey everybody.
Now, Christine, before we go any further, we've got to thank Wix Studio and Audience Key. They're our sponsors. We love them. They keep us on the air, and we always forget to thank them at the beginning of each episode when we're supposed to remember to thank them.
Even though it's on the sheet in big letters.
It is. Very big letters.
Anyway, thank you, guys. Audience Key and Wix are great. Great people. We know them personally, and they are great sponsors, so thank you.
Okay. We have a action-packed show today. It's a lot of stuff to get through. This is a neat one because, I don't know, maybe all this, like, technoligarch meddling in political affairs has become so used to it, or just become so normal. It seems to have faded into background noise because we have a whole bunch of tech stories today, just techie tech stories, which are wonderful. Got a quick announcement here. Google's faster. If you notice, Google's been faster. Google's faster by 60 whole milliseconds.
Did you notice? Blink of an eye.
Now, it's like, I didn't notice that, but like, if you multiply it out over the billions of objects in Google's index that it might serve up at any given time, it's a few milliseconds here and there between friends, right?
Exactly. And they're using a version of Prefetch. So that's why they're making it so much faster. And they're using it with privacy-enhanced Prefetch. I don't want to give a lot of details. Just that it's better for your security. So, it's good for them. I mean, obviously, you have to do trillions of, searches a year. Every millisecond you gain is good. So.
Next, if you saw a problem with Google Review and how Google was counting reviews, it was a bug. It was reported on last Friday, and Google confirmed earlier this week that it's been fixed. You can now see review counts.
Yeah, it's all should be back today and tomorrow. Barry Schwartz reported on the 11th that they're almost back. So if they haven't gotten back by tomorrow, I would check with whatever you can check with Barry and see if he reports any other issues, basically, at SEO Roundtable.
Very important to know, it's not you, it's them.
It's really them, totally them.
Similarly, if you notice that your Bitcoin charts were missing, they weren't. It was a bug. Now it's fixed. It too was a bug.
I think we could call this a Google Bug Week.
Yeah. In the past, I'd feel sympathy for Google, but I'm not feeling a lot of sympathy for Google today, but we're going to get to that in a few minutes.
Not anymore. Yeah, after people here today, under the we can't help it, but now they're all intermixed stories.
Yeah.
On politics.
Okay. Speaking of politics, and this is politics too, although this is stupid politics. This is like corporate politics of ownership and stuff, except it's not corporate because it affects, well, pretty much half of everything as far as we're concerned. Literally half of everything as far as we're concerned. More WordPress drama. And this is really crappy. I don't care if he's a billionaire and that he can crush us like a little bug. Matt Mullenweg, you're acting like a jerk.
Yeah, like a child. Like, and that insults children.
So, Joost de Valk is a long-term contributor to the WordPress community and an even longer-term contributor to the SEO community. Yoast came up with all of us in the earliest days. Went
And he's
on.
considered pretty much legend in the WP community. Like he's,
Yoast is legend in every community I've known
Well,
him to
this
be a
is
part
true.
of.
This is true. This is very true.
He was a legendary SEO before he went on to create the Yoast tools that became the basically the SEO tool set for working with WordPress, mostly because it made it really easy to mess with titles and descriptions.
Yeah,
That
that was
was.
really good. Yeah, back in the day, if you're new to all this, back in the day, you couldn't separate your head, your title on your page from your title on the actual document that Google picked up in search. And so Yoast tool allowed you to do that for the paid version. It was very smart of him.
I mean, and now it does. Now Yoast Tool does like so many things. It's it would take a whole, it would take several shows. In fact, we had Carolyn, the Carolyn Shelby, a head SEO at Yoast Tools on like a year ago, and we didn't even scratch the surface of what Yoast Tools does.
No, but
Anyway,
this is
just Yoast has been so instrumental in the growth of WordPress.
yeah, and he's moved on from Yoast and actually now has developed a philanthropic side. I don't know all the details of it, but I do know that's what he's working on, and that's what makes us extra just kind of, I don't know, like Matt, kind of
Even though
jerk.
Yoast moved on from Yoast, he's still Yoast.
Yeah,
He's
he's
still a
well, he's
legend.
actually his real name is Yoast, but Yoast is a tool,
And
but
he's still legendary. And now that he mightn't be at the hands-on at the operating the tool set any longer, but he's still one of the most important representatives of WordPress and the WordPress community in general.
yeah, and so
Or he was.
Matt banned him from WordCamp Asia, which of course developed into more drama because Matt's been banning people like other people we know from the core, you know, where they contribute and they've contributed for years or from the discussions and Slack. So basically, just want to do a quick read of it. This is Matt. Before he tries to make more on Twitter, photo Matt. Before he tries to make more drama about not being at WordCamp Asia, I just want to say I feel. Used his name, his Twitter name. Stabbed me when I was down. Betrayed confidence. Tried to take advantage of a situation for personal clout and influence. He does not need that. I have given him hundreds of hours of my time and more access than almost anyone in the WP community, including admin access on Google Analytics, a marketing leadership position, and more. The trust was betrayed. Previous condition contributions do not make up for this behavior. Nor does he apologize to take it down or any conciliatory action. This deeply saddens me. Because of this, I will not interact with him any further or participate with anything he's involved with. He's persona non grata. And his big
All he
all
did.
was offer to set up a new WordPress, which Matt has been daring people to do because of the way he's been handling this. If you guys don't know this, just go back to some of our other shows. We've covered it in depth. And Matt's been tyrannical about what he's been doing there. And so he dared people to fork WordPress, which you can do legally, and create a new one. And so you said he was open to do that and open to help fund it. That's really all he did. But you know, now Matt's
He also made public statements. I think it's time to let go of the cult and change project leadership. We could no longer have him, Matt, as our sole leader. But
but
that's
that's still just
nothing.
fact.
That's mild compared to what other people have been saying.
Well, also it's just fact. One
Well,
man owns.
yeah.
Yeah, one man controls what 50% of the internet runs on, and he's banning people and banning
Well, and
companies and blocking them
clearly
from
having a
WordPress.
personal
And
breakdown.
yeah, but almost a year now. It's been going on a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the latest in that. We need to give that a name.
I don't know. Maybe Mullenweg has been is mad that he seems to have been left out of the Technologark club.
Maybe.
You know, he's like, hey, it's a word w websites are important too, guys. Like, really?
So the that's the Matt story. We need a name for it. Mullowig, the Mullowig Tales. Oh.
Yeah, Mullenweg wine, we'll call it. Mullenweg
Oh, I
wine.
like that. It's like I don't call it the Mullowig. I can't say it today.
Speaking of, hey, you know who would have come up with a title like that without even having to think about it? An
Who?
author named Tom Robbins. Tom Robbins wrote books like Even Cowgirls Get the Blues, Jitterbug Perfume, Another Roadside Attraction, and a whole library of other novels. He was instrumental in the literary growth of a lot of people who are listening to this signal right now. He was instrumental in my literary growth. He was one of the most important authors to me when I was a young person, really getting into reading and writing. And Tom Robbins died the other day at the age of 92. Should be
Oh, I'm
noted.
sorry. I should be noted.
Sorry about that, but he would have come up with a title like Mullingwig Wine without even having to think
I
about
like
it.
it because you're mulling and wines. I like it. It's good.
There you go. Speaking of whiners, the problem with some whiners is like some whiners are billionaires and some whiners are billionaires who are like, basically literally the president of the United States. And this one is threatening to withdraw a $97.4 billion bid for OpenAI if the ChatGPT maker remains nonprofit. Elon Musk wants to buy Chat OpenAI, but only if it's a for-profit company. Oh, I'm sorry, only if it remains nonprofit. Only if it remains
Yeah,
nonprofit. My mistake. I read that all wrong.
I don't disagree that remaining nonprofit, but the way he's going about it, of course, now, especially in his new whatever role it is, I don't know what it actually is. But he's trying to
Head of Doge.
basically,
Head
yeah,
of
but Doge
Doge,
isn't
which
necessarily
supersedes the
good too,
presidency, apparently.
apparently. Yes. So yeah, anyway, so he's threatening OpenAI if they don't stay nonprofit because he's very mad about that. I really don't know why.
Well, he's threatening AI no matter what they do. Anyone who comes to you and says, "I'm buying you for $97.4 billion," and then starts throwing his weight around before the purchase,
Yeah.
is a bully.
He is. And basically, I think he's just trying to keep them nonprofit so they can't compete with his AI, to be honest. So.
That would make a great deal of sense. Okay. So OpenAI scrubbed the diversity commitment from its
Another
web
one,
page
bite
and
the
website.
dust.
So did Google.
Yeah.
So has Meta. So has, well, pretty much all of the big tech houses. And Google gets actually Google reported on why they did it. I imagine the same thing sort
We'll
of
get to
covers
that.
all the other tech houses. And may as well say it now because we're on the whole mega story. So if you want to work with the U.S. government and you want to work with the with the Trump regime, you have to conform to their view of the world. You don't have a choice. There's no other view of the world except the Trumpian view of the world if you want to work with the Trump
Yeah,
government.
I was gonna say you do have a choice, but you will not get the contracts.
If again, and so working with this version of the government is worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And this version of the government is, clearly willing to change, well, everything. And change means opportunity in capitalism. So, yeah, I think these the tech houses are seeing great opportunity and not willing to let it go past with something as simple as, basic as human rights and important stuff like diversity.
and we talked about this on our last show just super briefly today, but so people understand, because it gets a lot of misnomers go out about what DEI means. All it means is you make a seat at the table for people that normally probably wouldn't be on your radar, like someone with a disability who might need some accommodation. Not that the people are hired because of their status, disability, or race, or gender, or whatever. It's because they just want to make sure that there's a seat at the table for them, that they are invited in. That is all it means. So it's a big all it means, but it's not the political thing that everyone makes. It should just be human nature, human decency to want to have those people have a seat at the table, including me as a female. So anyway, that's so we know, because we have more DEI coming up. So maybe we should clarify that.
Okay, Sam Altman has laid out a roadmap from getting from 4 to 5. OpenAI is any day now. If I think it was supposed to happen
Yeah, it's supposed to
late
happen
last
now.
year.
Yeah, but now it's late this year.
So any day now, possibly
Yeah.
late this year,
Yeah.
ChatGPT 5 is going to be released, and Chat GPT 5 is apparently such an advance that
Well,
this is
well, things have been so
thinking.
advanced.
It's such an advance, they really have to plan for its release, and it's taking a great deal longer to get there. There could be a number of other reasons why it's taking a great deal longer to get there.
They're also going to unify all their models. So instead of having like deep research here and this over there and the voice mode over here, this is supposed to be completely together. But you only get full access to it if you're a paid customer. And I don't know which version to pay because they have the $20 and they have the $200 a month. So we'll see. But I will tell you from being on LinkedIn this morning, the rest of the AI world is so far unimpressed and feel that this is just more him talking than him actually, doing the walk. So we'll see when it comes out. But 4.5 is coming out first, and that should be out in a few weeks.
So, Meta laid off 3,500 people last week. What was it? I think it was 1/20th of their workforce, approximately. There's
No,
rooms,
5%. 5%,
5%.
sorry.
Yes, so 1 in 20, 5%.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
There's rooms out on the internet now where people can talk about their employers. After the NDA they signed has been avoided by layoff, one of them is called Blind, and the people are saying about Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook over there is I don't know, kind of, aside from losing their high salary and health benefits, it sounds like you'd want to get laid off from a place like this.
Well, it seems like a lot of the people who might, and this is self-reporting on one of these sites, so we don't have, data, but it does seem a lot of people that were on maternity, parental leave, sorry, not maternity leave, parental leave were let go after they came back for performance issues, even though they never had a performance issue cited in their history. And then apparently Sheryl Sandberg was the one that was really pushing to lean into, making sure things they had like parental leave and that you wouldn't be affected, like other countries do. But Zuckerberg, told Joe Rogan the company's more masculine energy. So I don't know if that's related, but it does seem the direction he's going. So a lot of the people that were targeted were people that took off time for their families.
That should scare the rest of the staff into working harder.
Exactly. Or, getting laid off so they can take 6 months and go find something else.
Sounds like a cruel, cruel. Anyway,
Yeah, that's what somebody
this
said.
is how you run a kingdom if you're a cruel ruler.
Exactly.
Foosball and pinball games and all the snacks you can eat is how you run your kingdom if you're a kind ruler. There is a difference between the two.
Yes, and if you're practical.
So Google had a all hands meeting, a rare all hands meeting, but it had an all hands meeting defending two things, scrapping the DEI goals and its DEI initiatives, and also talking about basically the weaponization of Google's AI. Google at one time had pledged to never use its AI for purposes that would harm people. But I guess its new executive team has decided that the greater harm is to not cash in on the billions of dollars that the Pentagon is going to be offering now that everything is, being thrown up in the air and falling back down to Earth again.
Yeah, it's
So.
$9 billion, called the Joint Warfighting Cloud Capability Contract that they share with Microsoft, Amazon, and Oracle. So, and they had active contracts to provide AI to Israeli defense forces, and a defense contract called Project Nimbus for the military arm of the Israeli government. That was from the Washington Post. So they have high number of contracts with the federal government and have decided to cash in is basically what I think the explanation, because the explanation they give from the other side, the HR side, doesn't know meat to it. It says Melanie Parker, Google's former head of diversity, said the company was doing away with diversity and inclusion employee training programs and updating broader training programs to have DEI content, but not to be called DEI. Also, they did say they did this months ago. It wasn't a response to Trump being elected, but in fact, is Trump was already elected when they did this. He hadn't taken office, but he was already elected. So I think that's kind of a a non-point. So anyway, yeah, so that's what they're saying. So what do you think, Jim? I'm going with federal contracts is why they did this.
I'm going with change another motto change from "Don't be evil," which I guess it was dropped quite a while ago, to "Don't lie stupidly." And
That's good. I like that. Like
if you're
stupid.
gonna lie, don't get Gemini or ChatGPT or any of those AIs to make up your lies for you, because well, actually, maybe you should. They'll be just as transparent if you have a human do it or if you have an AI do it, but they're absolutely transparent, Google. I know you're just
Yeah.
saying this, it's going to go down in history, and 25 years from now, should history be rewritten in the technoligarch's image, then this will be absolutely correct. But
And this
those of
is
us who
also
lived through it will remember and curse your name
remember.
because you're lying about this. You're doing this for to be part of the in club. And the in club is an ugly place to be.
No, it's not. And part of the in club is Google tried to explain why it quietly removed cultural events, Pride Month, Black History Month, all those things from its calendar, Jewish holidays. They also did plan this a few months ago, saying that it has no reaction to him being in office. But again,
They're
if
lying. I'm
yeah, I get
sorry,
that.
they're lying.
Yeah,
I'm just
they're
gonna, it's,
lying.
Google, you're listening. Sue me. You're lying about this. Don't
Yeah.
sue Christine. She didn't say it. I did.
I agree with you though. I mean, obviously we can't say 100% we know they're lying, but we know they're lying because they knew he was coming to office and this stuff's been on there for how long, a decade or more, and now they're saying they're cleaning it out
Look at
to make space or
look at
something
what
for
they
him.
chose to remove and
Yes.
chose to no longer recognize.
Exactly.
LGBTQ recognition days,
And
Black History Month,
Jewish
Martin Luther.
holidays.
I think they've taken Martin Luther King Day out, and that's like a federal holiday.
Yeah.
What else was removed? Like
Jewish holidays are removed.
Jewish holidays, Pride Month is
That's
gone.
according to the reporting. According to the reporting,
Like Pride Month, I don't know about American cities, but in the city of Toronto, Pride Month is literally worth billions and billions and billions of tourist dollars.
yeah. The official statement was the decision was taken in mid-2024 for reasons of scalability and sustainability because some holidays were missing. And you're taking federal holidays off the American calendar, you're going to need a better explanation than that.
Well, I think actually probably they were looking to go with what is publicly acceptable in some countries, and
Yeah,
things are
true.
changing rapidly.
Which we're about to get to.
Well, this isn't, I mean,
This is the dumbest, dumbest combo.
you ever grow up with like a popular sports facility named the Arrow Bowl or the Chuck Bowl or the Sky Dome or something, and then some corpotron comes along and spends a whole bunch of money and changes it to some stupid name like the Rogers Center, but it's still the Sky Dome. Well,
Yeah.
the American president, by executive order, has changed the name of the Gulf of Mexico. And for what it's worth, the Gulf of Mexico has been named the Gulf of Mexico since 1561, before the United States existed, before Mexico actually existed. It was still named the Gulf of Mexico. And I can go into why it was named the Gulf of Mexico, but that would take a few minutes. It's a historic and ancient name.
But sadly, his executive order was transferred to the Geographic Names Information System that the US runs, and they officially updated it, Gulf of Mexico, to
Gulf of America.
America. But wait, which America? Because, the
And
Americas.
now Google is showing Gulf of America. Apple Maps is showing Gulf of America. Everybody, MapQuest is not. It's showing Gulf of Mexico.
What?
Encyclopedia Britannica came out and said, "We will not show Gulf of America. We will show Gulf of Mexico," as did Reuters. Now, Reuters has been kicked out of White House briefings for failing to call it Gulf of America. Google's not getting kicked out of White House briefings because they are calling it Gulf of America.
Well, they don't attend White House briefings, but but you're right, you're correct.
Well,
So,
Google's not getting kicked out of the White House, and that's what's
yeah,
really important
true.
here.
You're very true.
It's the
No, that's
deals,
all.
you want to be in the Situation Room where the real deals are being struck.
Well, that is only based on country, though, because I asked people yesterday on my just my Facebook feed, because we have friends all over the world, who sees what. So most Americans see Gulf of America, so dumb. And then Europeans see Gulf of Mexico. People in between, like
I got
some
Gulf of
people.
Freedom fries.
Did you really?
I got
Oh
Gulf of America.
my gosh.
I
So
live in
you're right.
Canada. I do
But it
not live in the United
the
States.
Reason why you're getting that, according to Google, is it's based on things like SIM card and like towers. So you're close enough to the U.S., you probably are picking up there. But some of the states, some of the ones that are in countries that are like in between, you know, like down below America, you know, I'm sorry, below United States, America, so there's more than one. North America and South America, if anyone's forgotten. So Gulf of America could be South America. That could be fun. But anyway, they don't get, they get both. They get Gulf of Mexico, and then in parentheses, they get Gulf of America.
Removing the name Gulf of Mexico is a form of erasure.
Yes, it is.
The Trump regime is trying to erase any reference to do with and with multicultured peoples, and trying to replace it with that limp mayonnaise that passes for megaculture.
So here's how you're getting what the names you see. This is from Google, the keyword. The names you see in maps are based on your country location, which is determined by information from your phone's operating system. So it could be different on iOS or Android, including your SIM, network, and locale. If you're using Google Maps on the web, the names are based on the region you select in search settings and your device's location. So, like, if, let's say California was the Gulf of Mexico, where I am in Las Vegas. I often pick up my cell signal. Supposedly, Google thinks it's in California. So then I would appear like I'm should get Gulf of Mexico.
Well, I'm
I
on
mean,
my
Gulf of America.
desktop searching maps.google.ca and still getting but whatever.
Whatever. It's that you're right. It's a form of erasure and tis-tis on Google. Like, shame on Google so much. They used to. Remember, they're one of the leading companies in the world worth $1 trillion. Now they don't seem to know that anymore.
Well, again,
Yeah.
it's more important being one of the
Now,
leading companies in the United States or in the USA, where the real money is to be made, because that's what this is all about. This isn't about ideology. It's not about recognition of anything except profits, period.
no, the ideology would be stand up against it because it's erasure, but you know. The good, now, funny thing was, a thing went around Facebook. I don't know if you got it, Jim, where it said, "Hey, here's some steps you can do to leave a review and tell them to change it back to Gulf of Mexico." And so everyone was hopped in on that. All my friends did it, and it was, you know, showing in this section, and then Google shut it down.
Yeah,
It
so many people that Google just shut the whole thing down.
yep. So many people did it. Yay for you. That's good. But yeah, Google just shut it down, so it's not visible.
So all you people who are really, really, really worried about having to show ID to see your porn in the future, Google's got you covered. Of course, because of course they do. So Google's testing a machine learning powered age estimation model to help determine if a user is under the age of 18 or not. This will obviously be able to help launch more age-appropriate experiences for younger users, and it's going to roll out in the US first and expand to more countries over time. So Google's going to okay. So Google's going to use an AI model to estimate your age.
Well,
I'm
this is fall. Yeah,
so
go
curious to know how old they think I am.
ahead. So this is falling under their efforts to this. The reason is a positive one, and that is to protect children from things that they shouldn't be seeing. So more age-appropriate experiences is what they call it. So Meta has a similar model. Basically, it uses things from like your search history, videos you've watched, other signals from your account that tell you that you may be lying about your age. And then, if the model incorrectly flags you for being under 18, you can get your account back. But or I don't know if you lose your whole account, but it looks like you might. And you have to do a government-issued ID, credit card, or selfie. I don't know what a child under 18 is going to do for those because unless they're of driving age, most kids don't have ID,
Ergo,
like
you
credit
probably can't
cards.
comply with the
Yeah,
requirements, so you're not getting that ID verification.
exactly. I mean, I know they have to like. They're trying to
This
confirm that they're over 18 because they're
you want to know what
incorrectly
this is about,
flagged.
honestly, Christine? I'm positive. I'm 100% positive what this is about. This is about preventing the death of the internet.
Don't.
Think about all the states in America right now, in the United States, or the, I should say, the new SA, where Pornhub has decided not to operate any longer. I think it's up to 23 out of 48, or out of 50 states where Pornhub is no longer operating because of age verification rules. You have to show a government ID to verify your age, or Pornhub has to collect people's IDs to verify their ages and can be sued by the attorney generals of these states if they don't. So, what is the web built on? Pretty much people's porn addictions.
It was
And
originally,
Google's
yes, it is.
terrified users will walk away from the web if they can't access that sweet, 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 sweet endorphin rush.
So, if you're new, if you're like the last 10 years, you may not be aware, but in the early days, the main reason people went to the internet was for that.
By the way, if you're on the internet and you're not aware that it's completely chock full of porn,
No,
you're not on the
but that was
internet.
originally the reason people went. So, I remember some guy made 70,000 a month just off pictures of feet, and I'll let everybody else fill in why. They were not porn. They're pictures of feet that people have certain,
So why would Google spend all this money and all this time developing something that, hey, you're over 18, you're not over 18? Well,
Well,
because they want the web to continue, that's why.
that too. But it is, there are legal reasons as well. There are states with, legal issue where it's a legal issue if someone ever under
I'm very well aware of that. anyway.
so they're they've got a new feature also called School Time to Android phones and tablets, which will allow parents to limit or restrict apps during school hours and also blur out anything that they shouldn't see in a search result. So there you go.
You know, under other circumstances and different times, I might think that was a really good idea, but the whole idea that
I
they will
know.
blur out things people shouldn't see in search results really worries me. You know, just given America, or the new SA's resemblance to Stalinist Russia or communist China, or increasing resemblance. Okay, so the BBC went out of its way to test using large language models to write news stories for it, presumably because it wanted to get rid of the real people who were doing it. But this being the BBC, they wanted to see if it worked or not first, because, you know, they're clever over there. And they found that there were significant issues identified in over 30% of responses, with some issues, with some issue categories having significantly more than 30% problem responses.
And the models they tested were ChatGPT 4, whatever that is, 4.0, Microsoft Copilot Pro, Google Gemini Standard, and Perplexity with added instructions to use BBC news sources when possible. So it wasn't good. People don't use these as search engines. They're not search engines.
One
Yeah,
in
but
five
other things.
responses incorrectly produced dates, numbers, or factual statements that were erroneously attributed to the to BBC sources. 13% of cases where an LLM quoted from BBC article directly, the analysis found those quotes were either altered from the original source or not present in the cited article.
Yeah, and 51% were judged to have significant issues in at least one of the areas that they studied. The articles at Ars Technica, over half of LLM written news summaries have significant issues if you want to look it up. So yeah, and they have a whole bunch of what the questions they used, and they have charts and graphs in here. It's a really extensive article, but I just don't use it for search. You don't know if the answers it's giving you are correct or not. And also with news summaries, read the articles, don't read the summaries because they could be completely wrong.
Okay, so an interesting thing happened in the last week. A little bit of background. Kanye West spent a huge amount of money on his Spotify shop, t-shirt shop, non-Super Bowl advertising for his Spotify t-shirt shop. Moments,
Schmaltzy.
seconds after the ad aired, he removed every t-shirt except for the ones featuring a swastika. That
Yeah.
was what he offered people from the Yay t-shirt shop advertised on the Super Bowl. Okay, so that pisses off and offends, like, just pretty much everybody. Well, that pisses off and offends a lot of people. You used to assume that it would piss off everybody, right? You just can't assume that anymore.
No, sadly, well, never. It was never
So,
everybody, sadly.
interesting response. Somebody made a AI video, an AI created video of about a
Jewish
half a
celebrities.
dozen Jewish megastars.
Yeah.
We're talking
Like
like
Seinfeld,
Adam
Bueller.
Sandler, Kanye, and Adam Sandler, Scarlett Johansson, Steven Spielberg, Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Black, etc.
And Scarlett Johansson, who's in the project
And
twice
Scarlett
now.
Johansson
Yeah.
as Jews opposing the advertising of a swastika T-shirt. Thing
That's a
is,
little more.
none of these people gave their permission to use their likeness in this ad.
Well, also they were flipping the finger at the camera as a Jewish folk song, Habana Gedeo, played.
Yeah, and none of
So
these people use their permission to use their likeness. None of these people use the gave their permission to flip the bird at their fans or
yeah.
at viewers. The video went viral. And even if, and I'm pretty sure that the vast majority of people in the video absolutely agreed with the message, it's still like it's wrong to use other people's likenesses to spread your message under without their permission under any circumstances.
Yeah, she had a quote in here. She said that it's been brought to my attention by family members and friends that an AI-generated video featuring my likeness in response to an anti-Semitic view has been circulating online and gaining traction. I am a Jewish woman who has no tolerance for anti-Semitism or hate speech of any kind, but I also firmly believe that the potential for hate speech multiplied by AI is a far greater threat than any one person who takes accountability for it. We must all call out the misuse of AI, no matter its message, or we risk losing a hold on reality. I have unfortunately been a very public victim of AI. We know it's happened to her before. But the truth is, the threat of AI affects each and every one of us. There's a 1,000-foot wave coming regarding AI that several progressive countries, not including the United States, have responded to in a responsible manner. It's terrifying that the US government is paralyzed when it comes to passing legislation that protects all of its citizens against the imminent dangers of AI. Sorry, I read the whole thing just because I thought it was important. So. But she's right. And so they're not, obviously they're Jewish, so the anti-Semitism, the countering anti-Semitism is not the problem of what happened. What happened is that they took all their likenesses, which is also illegal in California. Remember from
So,
when they did her voice. So it's illegal in California to do that. But then what she wants the country to make laws. Unfortunately, under the current administration, that will not happen, from what we know, what they've already told us. So they're weakening all the laws.
but anyway, advertisers, folks out there who are using AI, for the love of goodness, only use likenesses of real people with those real persons', permissions. Even if those people are celebrities, you still got to get their permission. You gotta. It's just
Well, in
the way
California,
it's
you can do it
gotta
too.
be.
Yeah.
Well, screw California. It's just the way it's gotta be.
No, I
Doesn't
think you
matter
can
if
do it
there's a law,
too.
doesn't matter if there's a written rule. It's just the way it's gotta be. You need to
No, I
behave
agree.
this way or everything falls apart. And that's, I mean, honestly, that's, I think a lot of internet users and the immediacy of the internet, people don't understand this. If we don't act certain ways, literally everything falls apart because society is a series of very loose agreements. Ignore the agreements and it just unravels. It's just how it works. Okay. Speaking of don't lie stupidly, remember Google's new model? Well, this one could apply to Reddit. Oddly enough,
Yeah.
Reddit's blaming Google's algorithm for weaker than expected growth. So astute SEOs will remember when Google was pretty much quoting Reddit on everything. How do I change my tire? There's a Reddit for that. How do I put glue on my pizza? There's a Reddit for that. Reddit was, the one of the biggest sources of human created content out there. So Google was going nuts on it for a little while. Then Google stopped. And then Reddit, didn't get as much traffic. And Reddit CEO Steve Huffman blamed Google for a 39% missed growth expectation.
No, they grew. Traffic grew. Just their their engagement and things did not.
Also, yeah, they rose 39%, but they missed analysts' expectations of them. Sorry about
Well,
that.
their daily active unique visitors, if you were an SEO, you were about to go, what? Rose 39% to 101.7 million in the fourth quarter, ending December 31st, but missed average estimate of 103 million compiled by LSEG. I don't. Apparently they grew 39%, but they didn't grow 40%. But they also had problems with their engagement factors too. So I think that's a Reddit problem, really. They show up in it's called the hidden gems algorithm, and they show up at the top of almost every search I do. And so my guess is it's a problem at Reddit. Because what would you do with 39% growth, Jim?
What would I do
A
with 39
day, a
percent
day.
growth? I would have my client send me pizza, but not just any pizza. I'd have him send me pizza from that place at the top of University Avenue in Seattle. Anyone who lives at University Avenue in Seattle knows what I'm talking about. I'd have him send me that pizza, the most expensive pizza in the United States. That's the kind of pizza I'd be getting my client to send me.
Okay. Okay, that works.
I would brag about it is what I would do. I'd be over the moon.
They dropped 50. Their stock price dropped 15% in after hours trading. I am kind of curious. I don't know much about LSEG. Why they were expecting what looks like 41% growth? Like sites don't grow like that usually. They only grew like this because Google put them in a special place in the search results. The sites normally that big don't grow more than like, maybe 15, 20% a year, not 41% a day.
It strikes me this is probably algorithmic trading. People said you need to hit these marks or sell. And if they didn't hit these marks, their computers sold.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, it's just weird. So anyway, but yeah, Reddit's not hurting. So, oh.
Okay, does Google know when an author's bio was written for SEO purposes? John Muir says they do. I mean, how much honest to goodness, how much SEO value can you get out of pumping keywords to an author's bio?
Well, there is a whole group in our industry who reads the quality raters guide and thinks that they're ranking signals, and so they started doing all that in the bios because they say have a bio that does XYZ. So Google doesn't use those. They've been very adamant for quite a long time. But it's fine.
The only useful argument here is a bio is good for the reader, and the reader
Yes.
will appreciate you giving them information on the author because who doesn't want to know that stuff? And the reader will likely trust your website more because, I mean, you're telling them who the author is and giving them and
Exactly. So it's
so,
just not a ranking signal. It's good for
yeah.
users. But the response was from a post from Nikki Pilkington, who said, stop treating author bios as an SEO tactic and start treating them as what they are, a tool for building trust with your actual human readers. Very, very true. John just amplified the post and said, I don't know who needs to hear this, and then pointed at the thread. So that's kind of the second important part. John's like, come on, guys, like stop SEOing this stuff. So because I see people use like AI to like create fake authors and then put a bio in because they think the QRG is telling them they have to do that. The Quality Raters Guide also says it doesn't have to be an author, that the author can just be the website. But if you do have something like a medical journal or you have something that's important to people's livelihoods, your money, your life sites or queries, then yeah, it's great to put in a bio of a real doctor or somebody like that because somebody knows the information has been checked, especially in this day of AI. But it doesn't help you in your SEO doing better that way. It just helps with your readers.
So there you go.
This next one's kind of important, I think.
Yeah, how to tell if Google sees your tabbed navigation using the well, really cool, using the inspector tool.
Yeah, you can verify how Google sees the HTML DOM of a page using the Inspect URL tool. That's the, when you put that in the box at the top where you click the I think it's a magnifying glass when you add a URL. And I've done it so many times, I don't remember which
You know
icon.
what? You can just right click on your mouse if you're using a PC, and you get the drop down window. Very, very bottom. It's
Oh,
inspect and. Bob's your uncle. You are looking at your website.
Nice. So they documented a lot of it in their Google Developer Docs, but basically you can take a look at it. John says John said there's disagreement in the community about how well it'll rank. Google has said for a very long time if it's behind a drop, like they were talking about accordions or tabs where it tabs in and out, that they won't treat it as importantly. So I'm not sure why John made it sound like it's like a yay or nay.
Okay, well, if it's in the DOM and Google can unpack all the JavaScript and read all those commands, and especially all the important meta information, it should be just fine. But often the DOM is packed with crap stuff, JavaScripts, big gulps of them, and the raw HTML and the render HTML are different. Most people, the meta information is buried in the beneath all this crap in the DOM, but the render HTML it's not. I'm sorry, I should say the response HTML it's not. So I think that's what he's where he's getting at it, where he's talking about it. There can be a disparity there, and if there is, then you will not. I mean, like if the meta information that's inside the DOM can't be read because it's just too much goop in front of it.
Well, this is
That's
not
where.
metal. This is in page tabs and accordions. So that's true too, what you just said. But in this case, the tabs and accordions, when they went to mobile first, they said, "Hey, those are fine now." Because they used to say we devalue the content in the tabs and the accordions because you put it behind; it's not seen first, so it's probably not as important. And then Google was supposed to fix that, but as of like last year, they said they never fixed it. So if it's really important information and it's hidden in a tab or accordion, then it may or may not be given importance by Google, even if they can read it. And so that's why I'm a little curious about what John said, because that was him who said it. So I'm not sure why there's an either or. So I might have to do some research and find out why it's an either or. But you're right, you're very right. If it can't get through all that garbage, there's no way it's going to see it or it's going to consider it not important enough to bother with.
Okay, Google using what are they called? Hash bangs? Yeah, is that what the hashtag symbol as part of a link is called a hash bang?
Well, it depends. Oh, by the way, John gives the definition of it in Swiss, which is, I think, fence. It depends on what John's whole point is in this article by Barry Schwartz at Search Engine Roundtable, is that when you see these in your
Jump
reports,
links.
well, it depends. We call them hashtags, we call them jump links, we call them hash bangs. Well, the bang is the exclamation point, though. So they have all different names, but depending on the use and when they came into existence. So John's pointing out like hashtags didn't emerge until 2007, but the hash had been around much earlier than that for jump links
Well,
or
yeah.
for other things in code. So yeah, so
It was a
when you see
method
him.
before in HTML of say you had like a table of contents on a page, you would put the hash in front of the link and a little identifier afterwards, and use the hash further down the page to with the identifier to link to it from on the same page.
Yeah, that's a jump link. Yeah, and those will appear in search results, but Google's not reading what comes after the hashtag. But John was just saying we have all these different names from it depending on the use function when it came out. So jump links appear as the site links under parent URLs. This is John. Jump links inherit that position as tracked by GSC where on the page it is. The parent URL they're shown under. Site links appear more frequently when a URL is ranked well. Rankings fluctuate a lot, yada, yada, yada. That's the jump link. But people are seeing this in GSC and they're worried about it. And John's like, don't worry about it because there are old URLs that have hashtags. And actually, WordPress has been doing a lot now too, where they just put a hashtag at the end of the URL. And that's not hurting you in any way. That has nothing to do with anything then
Well,
and being an anchor, a jump link, or a URL fragment before
unless
hashtags.
stated otherwise, shouldn't that canonicalize back to its parent just automatically?
Yeah, exactly. You should not have it in your canonical tag itself, but if you see it in GSC, don't worry about it. It's basically what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah. And it means garden fence in Swiss. So
So Google search snippets are showing a future date. Is that a bug
Yes.
or a feature?
Barry thinks feature. I don't think he has confirmation yet on it. Barry Schwartz, searching around Roundtable. But it has like an image in the article that there's something from Wix about their earnings coming out. And it's coming out in a week from now, but they already dropped the main document that they're going to post the earnings. And it says under the title, in the left side where it puts the date sometimes, it says in 7 days. So Barry thinks it's a feature, not a bug, which would make sense because it is a change. It would be a weird bug to suddenly put in 7 days there.
So let me see if I understand this. Wix puts its Q4 2024 reporting up on the web. It's not supposed to report for another 7 days, but it's put this page up on the web now. Google crawled it, understands that these results are not supposed to be visible for 7 more days, and puts a bug on there, or puts a little precis on the search results saying in 7 days.
Yeah, the article description says before the market. Yeah. So the article description for Wix is Wix announced that its report it will report its results for the fourth quarter ended December 31st, 2024, before the market opens on Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. And then there's a little bit more. And so they have put there now, Barry calls it a snippet, but it's not like a featured snippet or anything. It's just a regular listing from what I can see from the screenshot, unless he merged screenshots. So yeah, so it puts in 7 days there instead of like the date that it was posted. And you probably have to put it in the description as it's shown here, or something very obvious in the page or in the structured data, because I have no idea otherwise how they would know. Just from reading dates on a page. So, but yeah, it makes sense that they would put that there. I don't think it's a bug. You think it's a bug? I don't think it's a bug.
I don't think it's a bug. I think, oh, actually, no, I do think it's a bug, actually. I don't think it's a feature. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't think Google should be publishing something that isn't supposed to be publicly available for several more days. But if Wix put it up on their website,
Yeah,
if
they
you put it up
didn't.
on your website, even if you strive to protect it, if you put it up on the site, you have to assume that something's going to get it, given that many AIs are just completely ignoring robots text or no follow tags.
And
So I don't know what to say about the story, to be honest.
Barry had an example in 2018, but they put the actual date in. May 5th, like 2018. This one says in 7 days. So you know how sometimes it says 7 hours ago or a day ago or 3 days ago? It seems like an extension of that. So that's why I think he thinks it's a feature, not a bug.
The one thing I can say about this is Wix did absolutely report their earnings before 5 p.m. on February 19th, 2025. They did that. They accomplished that. Good for them. So there you go.
There you
So Google Business Profile reinstatements now include a case, a number, and a five upload documents. Okay, so Google's updated Google Business Profile's reinstatement emails to now include the case number of the first appeal email. Plus,
Yeah.
Google added five proof upload boxes so you can give Google even more evidence to review on why you should be restated to Google Business Profile.
Which is good because I know that people trying to get their business profiles restored has been very difficult. It might happen to my cousin. She still to this day doesn't know why her re business profile was taken down. She's an artist in LA and
I
she's
think,
moved. Yeah.
well, I think the salient part of this story for people who are dealing with the Byzantine labyrinth of dealing with like an appeal at Google, the reinstatement emails now include the case number of the first appeal email.
Yeah.
So that's important to know, because that first appeal email is well, that's the reference number that your case is going to be referred to from then on till forever. So keep that number, put it in Notepad, save it in six different places on your computer, and write it down on a piece of paper and put it in your wallet.
Or just screenshot
You can do that too.
it.
You can never be too careful.
Let's be
Put one
careful.
in your sock and another one under your shoe.
There you go. But it is, it should be helpful. My cousin lost her account when she moved to a new location. She's an artist in LA and she could not get it back. She tried every way possible and it still is locked down. So this will, I will tell her this happened. She'll be happy. So,
This was kind of cool.
oh, we missed, yeah, and we missed one story, but we'll have to get back to you.
I want to rag on Google because I'm mad at them. I'm really unhappy about the erasure of Mexican culture, changing the name of Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America, even if they're just going off of the U.S. government computers, never the U.S. government data feed. Nevertheless, I'm pissed at them for it. But I like them. This I'm happy about. Google's updated its dev docs, developer docs, and one of the updates was really good advice on using Google Analytics 4 and Google Search Console data together through Looker Studios. There was actually Ryan Jones published a piece, I think, 2 days ago on how to properly tag in GA4 to customize it for your own operation.
Nice.
So Google takes, well, Google didn't take Ryan's ideas. Ryan's building on Google's ideas, but Google is taking the same sort of tact and telling you how to use GA4 properly. And it's about time they did. Problem with GA4 is it's not an out-of-the-box product like Universal Analytics was. It's designed to be customized for, I mean, it could be used as an out-of-the-box product, but it's infinitely more useful once you start customizing it. And once you start using it with other data tools like Looker Studio, which is kind of like this mashup kitchen where you can put a bunch of different data feeds together.
Yeah, and I don't know Daniel's official role. Daniel Weisberg, is it right? Is that the right way to say it? Weisberg, is it blurry right now? And he emerged as a new like kind of head of GSC, what we were going to do with it. And since then, there have been a lot of nice improvements. Now most of my clients are not using G4 anymore because, like you said, it's not easy to use. But for those who do have G4, this is a great way to get extra insights because you can merge all your data into Looker Studios, and they have templates even that they give you to use, and so you can see a lot more information that way. I think it's awesome. It's probably also in response to all the GSC tools that came out in the last year. A bunch of
Well,
people created Google Search Console tools, so they don't go to Google Search Console, they use the tools.
I'm currently, for want of a better term, co-piloting on a migration from GA4 to Adobe Analytics. And I got to tell you, Adobe Analytics is extraordinary analytics suite, but infinitely more complicated than
Oh,
GA4.
very hard. Yes, this is very difficult. It's not easy change. But I do know a lot of companies moved to it because they just didn't want to deal with G4. Paying companies, ones that are paying millions. So,
Well, yeah. That's the other thing about Adobe Analytics. It's the customer journey experience, while insanely thorough, is insanely expensive.
exactly. So,
But did I say insanely thorough?
we said on Sandy Theory, we have our quick stories come up, and then we're going to end on the one story we missed because it's a perfect ending to the day.
Okay.
But yeah, so the quick stories we had today, I'm just going through. I'll let you know. Let me know if you want to add to it, Jim.
There's a
Local
lot of them
search
here.
results.
Wow.
Oh no, not the same as usual. Local search results pack share list button. So if you go to the Google local search results and you get that window on the side, now you can share it with people, which is nice because I have a hard time giving the information to friends. So anything to add to that, Jim?
Sharing information is awfully good. Yeah, that's that. No. Good for
Sharing is
Google.
caring. Google test filters on latest post carousel. So on the latest post carousel, now you can be able to filter by things like most recent or the timeline, that kind of those kind of items. It sounds useful to me. It's
Yeah,
Google
why weren't
search.
this one is a question I think that was asked year after year after year. Why don't you do this? Now they are.
Yeah, which makes sense. And then the Google Ads customer match list, it has a 540-day expiration date. You and I don't do ads, so there are a lot of ad stories this week. By the way, if you do ads, do check out SEO Roundtable. But basically, it's just to have, they used to have no membership expiration date, and they was just filling up basically their databases. So they're now gonna cut it at a certain point after 540 days. And then, do you have a comment? Anything on that? Okay. Yahoo Search AI answers are now showing link sources. For some reason, I thought we reported on this before that they were doing it, but this is a new story as of today. So they added AI generated answers like Google and Bing, but they didn't have sources or links, and now they do at the bottom of the AI overview.
Yeah, but it's a learn more box.
Yeah, well, no, it has. If you look, learn more to the right, it's very faint. You can actually see names of the sites, but it's really faint. So you're gonna really have to look for it. Very faint, very tiny. And then we have Google LSA leads. These are auto lead credits. This is ad stuff, so we're not gonna get way deep in it. So that's why it's a quick story. But apparently, people that are using the automated ad credit system removed the ability for advertisers to manually request lead credits for poor quality leads. They're not getting the money back, really.
So
So,
now you got to accept what they send you without appeal? Like that can't be entirely true.
they're saying you got. It doesn't say that whether appeal or not. The article just talks about that there's an automated system and remove the method for advertisers to manually request the lead credits. So you think it's a poor quality lead. You didn't get what you thought you could get out of it. You want your money back, and Google's like, nope, we sent it to auto, automated. So people feel like they're losing money.
Well, yeah, but
And
how do you if you can't manually request lead credits, right? How do you do it?
it just automatically sends them to you.
Okay. So
Yeah.
basically, Google says you're going to take what we give you, and that's all there is to
So yeah, so Google does, you know, like, you know,
it.
Google's favorite thing, right? Before this change, we found that man, this is from Ginny Marvin, the Google ads liaison. We found that manual disputes were underutilized by a majority of advertisers and overused by a few. That's probably because those people had more issues than the other ones. Google always likes to go, you know, only 10% of our users had a problem, but they had a really, really big need for the thing that you had that you just removed. So anyway, they are losing money based on that, according to the article. And then Google AI Search is adding local events to their events and local events to their events. So if you've noticed lately, you'll see events in the system sometimes for certain searches. And I live in Vegas. So if I said concerts, there'd be a box that pops up with like local concert by date and then to help me buy the tickets. So it would do today's events, concerts, theaters, art exhibitions, museums, restaurants, indoor attractions, and more. I think before it was just doing like a few like restaurants and stuff. So now they've added local events to that as well. I saw it just the other day. That wasn't particularly helpful, but I live in a city with so many events, so it just probably didn't know how to sort it well. And that's the last one of these. And there's one last story we have to go to, and then we'll get out of here because I know Ricky's probably already sweating it. But we're right at the hour almost. And that is, remember a while back that Google said we don't really want you to use AI images in your stuff, but there wasn't really any penalty for it as far as
I thought
people
they
could
wanted them
tell.
tagged. Like, if you were going to use them, they wanted it noted that this was an AI image.
Yes, they want you to tag them, but they also don't like them. And I couldn't find the story before we started today, but there was a story that Barry did a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, and Google's like, we want you to use real photos. Now this is like for images where that matters. Like Barry puts in these funky AI images on every article, and they're super cool. Google doesn't care about that, but they're talking about like using them for a travel site, like all your images are made from AI or something of that nature.
So if you're
So they
using it
found.
to represent something real, like an event or a place or a thing.
Yeah, and we don't have that clarification from Google, but from reading the article, it does seem to be related to site type. So Barry has no issues on his AI images that he puts on each post, but he puts one big one on every post. They don't appear anywhere else. It's a hero image. So a bunch of people were talking, and Barry picked it up on LinkedIn, that their web versus image for their video game Animal Matchup is the guy who wrote about it. Zach, his name, they didn't put his last name. Zach Notes. I thought Notes was part of the sentence. Zach Notes.
Zach Notes, things are going
Sorry.
well, said Zach Notes.
Exactly. Sorry, it's been a long week. And it's been a year and a week. And anyway, the image traffic is not coming from their AI images anymore. They took a big hit. And since other people chimed in that Barry quoted in the article as well, they took a big hit as well. So I think it probably is related to what you're selling, what you're doing. Although it does seem odd if you have a game called Animal, Matchup, that they would kill the image traffic for that. Because wouldn't you be using some sort of, I guess they want you to use real art maybe
Well,
instead
I
of
mean,
AI art?
I don't know if you've ever seen like a really good raccoon on antelope fight, but like you don't want to get CGI or AI images of that. You
Oh,
want the real thing. Fur
anyway,
and tusks everywhere.
if you're seeing a drop in traffic and you're not sure where, make sure to check your Google Search Console for your images. Your web search will probably look normal, and your image search will probably have dropped off. In this case, they dropped off quite a bit. So they were like parallel. They were getting as almost much traffic from the web search and the image search, and now the image search has just plateaued while web search was increasing. So yeah, so I'm sure we'll get more from that from Barry, more, clarification later.
Something I want SEOs to be watching for, and I think this has been written about like pretty extensively, and it's just one of those common sense things. But we reported this on this last week, and haven't heard a lot about it since. Click-through rates dropping off, while impressions are, still riding quite high. Are you all actually seeing that? If so, please comment at like Blue Sky, Facebook, or any of the SEO forums. But this is the kind of thing that we all ought to be talking about and sharing data on like right now. And I expected to see a lot more of it in the last like week or 2 weeks since that story was out. I haven't seen a lot.
Yeah, I get it all the time, so I don't think it's new for my clients, but a lot of my clients work in the news space, so it's kind of natural for them to have that.
I want to see the conversation, that like people talking about this is how it's actually affecting me and my clients.
No, that's true. It would be good to see because most likely it's because of all the changes to search, because we know like AI overviews are stealing clicks, right? But it would be good to know. It would be good to see it. So yeah, we'll take a look. We'll do some research this week, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, this has been an interesting show. We didn't touch on like the political side of tech very much at all, just a little bit.
A little bit.
Which was really, almost liberating. It'll be so liberating
Yeah,
when we don't ever have to, don't you think?
don't. Yeah, I don't think that's coming anytime soon.
Oh, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it'll be liber Anyway, I look forward to liberty personally. I live for liberty, always have. Okay, that's our show. We've been around the clock and then some. So, on behalf of Christian Jacketer from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. I want to thank Wick Studio and Audience Key, our sponsors, Darren and Brandy in the front office, Brasco and Ricky in the studio, and all the people who are listen to who listen to the show week after week after week after week. Thank you all so much. Be well, be kind to each other, rank well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.